Breakfast Business
with Enterprise Ireland
on Newstalk.
But first, let's have a look at the main international business stories in the newspapers and websites, which we shall do in the unrivaled company of Russ Mould from AJ Bell. Good morning, Russ.
Morning, Flatterer. How are you, Joe? You all right?
Not too bad. Was the weather as awful where you were as it was over here?
It's absolutely filthy in Brighton. It was raining at 10 o'clock last night, and it's basically bucketed down all the way through. It's still at it now, and it's very windy as well. So it's not very flash at all, I'm afraid.
Yeah, I think I kind of get some sort of solace in the fact that it was also rubbish over there, actually.
Thanks a bunch.
Yeah. Now, shall we start with Volkswagen, the car maker? Another profit warning.
Yeah, I mean, there's uproar on at the company. It's in the process of negotiating with trade unions about possibly closing factories and cutting jobs in Germany for the first time to sort of tear up a union settlement that was struck. There'd be no such action until 2029. It's already run one 10 billion euro cost-cutting program. It said that's not enough. And I guess we're finding out why now, at least from their perspective, because as you say, second profit warning in 3 months. They're now going to sell fewer cars this year than they did last year. Sales will be flat and profit margins will be nowhere near what they were targeting just a few months ago. Several problems here. They are behind the curve in electric vehicles and hybrid. Some of Germany's choices on its energy sourcing haven't been particularly helpful. It's got a high cost of energy, so it's not so competitive.
This is the crazy decision to do away with nuclear energy as a source of electricity just when you need it.
Yeah, well, also relying on Russia for your gas, which hasn't worked out too well either, and a big slowdown in Chinese demand. Now, China is trying to get its economy going again, but that's going to take time, and all of this is tripping up VW, so it's looking to try and cut costs at a time when, you know, its share price is, you know, back to where it was in 2010 to show you just how difficult things are for the company right now.
Okay, well, let's move from one industrial giant to another industrial giant, Boeing. They've had a pretty nasty time of it, and they're in talks with their trade unions, and it's not going that well.
Well, they were in talks because the talks ended on Friday, and there's been no progress made on the union's pay demands or Boeing's counter-offer. And according to the union, the International Association of Machinists, there have been no new dates set. So Boeing boss Kelly Ortberg has got his hands full here. The union's demanding a 40% pay increase and better pension benefits. The company's gone back with a 30% pay rise over 4 years, a performance bonus, an increased voice on safety, and guarantees that the next future plane model will be built in Washington State. But there's no great meeting of minds here. Boeing's now threatening staff with furloughs. The unions are saying, well, we're on strike. You can't produce the planes. You're already burning cash. You know, there needs to be a deal on both sides here really pretty quickly. And, you know, airline customers like Ryanair will be watching this because they want delivery of the planes that they're already not getting. So the strike's going to make that even worse. But Boeing's financial position is very weak with over $58 billion of debt. It's losing money already. You could possibly argue the unions may slightly have the stronger position here right now, but at the moment, management's refusing to budge.
Well, management, I've offered them 30% over 3 years. I mean, inflation is around 2%, so, you know, it seems like a generous offer to me. But as you say, unions have them over a barrel or by the whatever, whatever. Let's move on to a New York Times story that you spotted about a ChatGPT owner at OpenAI.
This is an NYT story saying that ChatGPT, you know, or OpenAI expects to generate $3.5 billion of revenue this year, which sounds pretty good for a very, very young company. But it expects to lose $5 billion.
Oh.
Now, I guess because, you know, we're still in a fairly early stage of this company. It's throwing money at developing large language models and these systems that everybody's hoping are going to help revolutionize productivity. But this also explains why it's, you know, looking to raise another $5 billion. Microsoft's already put $13 billion in. And it may also explain why there's been what can be politely called a fair degree of management turmoil at the company, with its chief technical officer leaving last week. And of the 11 founders, only two are left now, because it's trying to find a way of, you know, at least covering the losses, and indeed now seems determined to be not just a not-for-profit, but a profitable organization. The costs involved in generating these models are colossal, just in terms of the R&D, then there's operating them through the electricity, the servers, the power. And this just shows that, you know, it's not necessarily a guarantee path to riches, shall we say. But one intriguing thing is that the company does expect, according to the NYT article, to more than double revenues in the next year, and then take those revenues from $3.5 billion to nearly $30 billion by the end of the decade. And it plans on doing that through some fairly hefty price increases once it's cemented its strong competitive position. So this arms race is on between Microsoft-backed ChatGPT, Amazon-backed Anthropic, Google, Meta are all in there. And all of these big heavyweights are fighting for a slice of the action. At the moment, it is costing them a heck of a lot of money.
Indeed. Do you use ChatGPT, the free version, or do you actually pay a subscription?
I don't use either, okay. Actually. Sorry.
All right.
I know, it makes me a bit of, I've got a big pile of books up behind me. They bring me an awful lot more pleasure.
Ye old school.
Yeah.
Now, let's move to Japan. It looks as if it's getting a brand new prime minister. Well, at least the boss of the LDP party. But the markets don't like it.
The Japanese Nikkei 225 has opened down 5% today in Tokyo as Shigeru Ishiba has been appointed, as you say, leader of the LDP, which by implication means he's prime minister because the LDP is in charge. Although there are now suggestions Mr. Ishiba may call a snap election at the end of this month to try and cement his position. Why is the Nikkei upset? Well, in the past, Mr. Ishiba has talked about increasing corporation taxes and increasing taxes on investment gains. He's backed the Bank of Japan's plan to raise interest rates to, quote, normalize monetary policy after 30 odd years of zero or negative rates. And as a result of that, the yen's been rallying, and that's also could crimp Japanese exporters if it goes on. Now, he seems to have modified his position a bit over the weekend, talking about how he's in favour of loose monetary policy and how the Bank of Japan needs to move carefully. And a lot of it now may depend upon who he appoints in his cabinet and indeed whether he calls that a snap election at the end of the month, because the opposition party, the CDP, they've just appointed a new leader as well. And so they're gearing up for an election at the same time at the moment. The Nikkei, I mean, in the end, Japan has got the same problems that many Western countries have. Lots and lots of debt, high debt to GDP ratio. How does it try and keep that manageable?
Yeah, and of course they've got a declining birth rate as well. I noticed some of the comments from him over the weekend in which he said that the Asian nations outside China should form some sort of NATO equivalent. So an Asian NATO, which I thought would be very interesting. Let's see if that happens. Russ, thank you so much as ever. That is Russ Mould, Director of Research with AJ Bell.
Breakfast Business
with Enterprise Ireland
on News Talk.